Oh my God, there you guys are.
Hello.
Hey,
We all
Walter.
have beards.
Yes, we do actually, now you mention it. I've never thought about that before.
Yes. I'm going to be back in a second. I'm going to go put my referee outfit on.
No problem.
Oh, awesome.
My
That's
Zorro costume.
absolutely
Oh.
perfect. Should we get on video as well so we're not hiding away?
Righty. Can you see this okay?
Absolutely. Here he is. The referee himself.
So what town do you guys live in?
We live in a town called Grimsby, which is an optimistic name.
Is that Grimsby?
That's exactly right, yeah.
Okay, so I've heard of it.
Oh,
I've seen that
really?
name. I've seen the name Grimsby someplace and in the course of my life, in fact, numerous times. Is it a suburb of something big?
Not really, but we've got like a lot of history in like the fishing industry and stuff like that. I don't know if you'd have come across that.
No, I'll tell you very truthfully that I am not up on my fishing history.
I'm from Grimsby, and to be honest, I barely am. You any good, Dale?
I'm no good with fishing history, no.
My God.
Because you know I'm Lee, Walter. This is my cousin Dale, by the way. I haven't introduced you properly. Who does the show with me?
Nice to
Hi,
meet you,
Dale, by
Walter.
the
Nice to meet you.
way. Nice to meet you, Dale.
So
Okay.
how's it going today?
It's going good. Am I framed okay?
You yes, as long as I lift you up like that. Yeah, we've got you
That's good.
perfect.
Okay, good. Good.
Yeah, we'll have to just put ourselves up. Yeah, no, we're all good. We're all good here. So, what's new with you then? What's been going on today?
Well, I've been working on trading cards all day. I'm under kind of like deadlines to make trading cards because my 70th birthday is coming up soon.
Right.
And I'm doing three back-to-back-to-back award ceremonies with the trading cards as part of my celebration. Instead of going out and having a normal birthday party with a few friends and a cake, I've decided to turn it into massive trading card award ceremonies.
That sounds
So,
great.
I'm kind of in a rush job because I've been working on it for 70 days and I only have like 10 days left.
So, what's your role when it comes to trading cards then? Is it you're just
I do
involved in the
it.
production?
I do all the design and I do all the writing except when I can manage to get someone to write the backside biographical text themselves, because who knows their story better than anybody would be them, of course. They would know their story better than anybody. And I've generally decided that in my life I'm going to be a trusting person and not worry about whether or not someone pulls something over on me and claims something on the back of their card that's not true. If they do claim something that's not true, then that's their business and their karma. You know how much of a headache it would be to have to go through, what do they call it in the trade? Just fact checking
Yeah.
everybody for everything they claim. Like, were you really there in 2012? And did you truly do this or that? It would be such a miserable experience.
Yeah,
So people just
that would ruin the fun of it, of course.
now if I was if the trading cards, see, I've designed now over 3,500 cards. In fact, close to 4,000 cards I've designed, and over 2,000 of them are actually in print and distributed around the world. Over 2,000 of them. And if that same incredible project was done by a real company, that had a CEO and then a director of a project of the project. And then someone who's the director of all the writing for the back, and then a copy editor, and then a fact checker, and then someone who's out on the phone constantly getting permissions and copyright, removing copyright restrictions and trademark restrictions, and the graphic artist, and then whatever, and that's like at least 8 to 10 people. Imagine in a big city. It's kind of thing of being in a big city too. And so it'll be, I mean, what I've done is. My cards I've designed and created and got out there in circulation probably would have cost $3 to $5 million at this point to have done that. And so essentially, I don't fact check because, I mean, there'll be certain things that will be like red flags on the field. But, so you guys, soccer fans?
You are massive soccer fan,
Yeah,
Dale.
yeah, yeah. I'm a Chelsea
You're a
fan.
massive soccer fan? Do you get drunk and riot and wraise havoc on the streets?
Oh no, I'm not an anarchy fan.
Okay, so when your team wins, what causes bigger rioting? When the team wins or when the team loses?
Good question.
Yeah, it depends in what scenario. Like you have different cups. In England, the Champions League, in the Premiership. The Champions League seems to be the one to go for. But my team this year aren't in it. We're in the Europa, which is like the one level down. So it's still, if we win that, I think I might do a little bit of rioting and a little bit of drinking. Maybe till 11 o'clock at night.
So how about you guys? So what do you think of America's NFL?
It's not something I know much about.
So you don't see NFL games on occasion then?
No, it's never broadcast over here, at least as far as I know.
Actually, it's becoming more and more popular. I think that when the American Super Bowl is shown, you know, with the New England Patriots and stuff like that, Tom Brady and those guys, I think it was like almost 5 million people.
Right.
Watched it, I think, in Great Britain.
No, you're right. I remember a lot of people were watching it, definitely.
And they're starting to play the games over in Wembley. A few. Is it pre-season games they do or mid-season?
No, they do. I don't think they do pre-season, but in the course of the season as it stands right now, I think 4 games are scheduled for Wembley in the course of the season.
Mm. Who's your team, Walter? Who do you...
Well, I'm from Boston, so I'm the Tom Brady New England Patriots, the ones who win all the time. You hear about them winning all the time, don't you?
Yeah.
Just one time now.
I know the names.
It's really weird and freaky. So what do you guys... So how old are you guys? You guys are about 35?
Ooh, I'm only 29, so I take that personally.
I can't tell because you have beards, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it hides it, doesn't it?
I'm 27.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm 31. See, the beard makes me look older.
I look about 12 when I shave.
Darling.
Maybe I should do that live at some point. See the transition.
A fundraiser.
Yeah.
And have you always been bearded, Walter? It's kind of synonymous with you, I think.
Well, I haven't always been bearded. If you go back far enough, you'll see that I used to be, in the earliest days of Twin Galaxies, I had a big handlebar mustache, sort of, and three-piece suits.
Of course.
Three-piece suits. I used to own 7 three-piece suits that I got as an oil broker back in 1980, and those are what I wore through the first 4 or 5 years of Twin Galaxies, so all these three-piece suits. They're expensive, too.
Sharp.
I think they were like $350 suits back in 1980, which got to be like $1,200 or $1,400 now, you know?
You dapper man.
And you've caught me barely dressed, nearly in my dressing gown over here.
Yeah. So what games do you guys play?
Well, I've been playing games my whole life. I mean, I was only born in 1990, so unfortunately I did miss out on those classic days. But I've been playing games my whole life. Basically, everything that's come along, I've dipped into at some point.
So when's your birthday in 1990?
15th of April. So remember that, listeners.
I was a 90.
Remember.
Thank you, Walter.
I was a 91 baby. Sorry.
91 baby?
Yeah, 91 baby. December the 8th.
So when's your birthday?
December the 8th.
Or December the 8th.
One of those awkward Christmas birthdays.
Yeah. In the bit.
Yeah, that's kind of tough, being born near Christmas.
Yeah, costs money.
I think it's just enough far away, the in-between, so I did always get 2 presents, luckily.
So, Walter, one thing I've been wanting to ask about is your music. Is that something you still work on? Oh, excellent. Because we've queued up, I'll always be playing your game to play after this interview. And it's a shame there isn't more of your recorded stuff online. Is there anywhere we can find it?
Well, here's the story on the music. In the summer of 1985, I fell in love with this glamorous woman. In fact, she was considered the most attractive woman in town at that time. And essentially, suddenly at the end of December, after being together for 4 or 5 months when I was really involved with her, she calls me up one night and says, "Walter, I secretly have been seeing a friend of yours." And so we broke up that night. She went off to be with him and married him and had children with him and stuff like that. But for some weird reason, about 2 weeks after that, I started hearing music play inside me. Head, hear, music playing. And it was like original songs. There's original pop songs with lyrics and hooks and all sorts of harmonies and orchestrations. I could hear whole orchestras play. So I furiously started writing it down and singing it in the and a tape recorder and stuff like that. And by the time this phenomenon had kind of like worked its way out, petered its way out, 138 songs had come out.
Wow.
138. And essentially, it's one of the most extreme experiences in my life because I wrestle with it. I used to have nightmares for years. In my sleep, I'd have a nightmare. And what my nightmare was, I'd suddenly hear my song playing on the radio. And I'd sit up in bed because I'd hear the music playing. I'd hear the song playing, one of my songs, on the radio. And I'd freak out because, oh, my God, I waited too long. Someone else has got my song. You know, that's like someone creates the same song and steals it or comes out with it before I do. So I'm very psychologically involved with this whole process of actually getting this music done. However, I'm like a computer that has limited bandwidth. I can't multitask everything on the highest level to do the degree of due diligence for the movie that it the music that it deserves. So what that means is that the only way I can get the music out is really to kind of clear the decks and not be having all that time and energy and attention being spent on video games or this trading cards or something like that. I got to just do the music. And so I'm actually right here at the edge now where everything's being set aside and people are going to be coming in here helping me do the music. Because I'm 70 years old now. I'm not 31. So I'm 70 years old in a few days. And essentially, I'm not going to spend all the time and energy and attention that it takes to learn how to use all that technology for like Pro Tools, they call it, and all the other software to go and do high-level music. I'm going to bring people in who know that, and I'm just going to focus on the music itself and get the music out. And we're just going to start hammering out song after song after song. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of neat that you mentioned I'll always be playing your game. People in the past have commented on it that they really like it, but it's not about, you know, video games. It's all about the game of romance, you know. And so
I definitely got that feeling from it. It's a beautiful piece of music.
Well, thank you. I was singing it just yesterday.
Was this one of the songs that came from within?
Absolutely.
Amazing. Yeah, interesting. Amazing.
In case you're on a laptop or something, you might want to like pull down like this or something like that, because it kind of looks like you're peering over a wall a little bit.
I was hoping that you guys would correct me if there was a problem.
There we go. Yeah, there we are. Yeah, I just didn't want to interrupt you. That's perfect. Perfect.
Okay.
So we've had Shady Lane, one of our regular commenters, has asked if you're still involved with any top scores or speedruns. I believe you're fully retired from that now. But
no, I'm completely retired. But I don't do any. I mean, I might do kind of like honor. I do celebrity appearances, believe it or not, you know. I don't walk around with any conception in my head I'm a celebrity. That's way beyond out of my realm of appreciation. But I do get sometimes brought to events and I do things and someone will say, okay, Walter Day's gonna watch you, and on occasion I'll watch someone play a game, but I'm not a referee. Mm-hmm. No desire to be a referee. It's a thankless task.
You do look mighty fine in the gear, though, I must say.
Yeah, it still suits.
Say that again?
I say you do look mighty fine in the gear.
Okay, thank you very much. I feel all geared up after that.
How do you feel about the community today compared to back in its prime when you were first founding it?
Well, back in its prime, the people I was surrounded by were all 13 to 17 years old. Now those same people still play the same games, but they're all 50 to 55 years old. And I'm surprised that their wives aren't throwing them out of the house, actually. But essentially, the new young people, only far less than 1% play the games of yesteryear. Most of them are playing, what, Fortnite,
yeah.
League of Legends, and whatever they're playing, Fortnite, League of Legends, and
Rocket League. And,
yeah.
All those ones, because that's where the peer pressure is, and that's where the true rewards are right now. Mm-hmm. You can win a lot of money if you're good at those games and gain a lot of prestige. So you get minimal prestige if you're good at Donkey Kong Jr., but you get real big prestige if you're a champion on Fortnite or something like that. The modern age is still the same as the old age of almost 40 years ago, and that it's the same dynamics still in play. And what that means is this. if you're in an arcade and it's 1982 and someone's getting a high score on Ms. Pac-Man or on Donkey Kong or something, a big crowd will gather around that person and ooh and ah and watch his every move. As many people as it can fit around and still see the screen, a big crowd will gather around a person who's a champion player. And that's because just as now they can fill up a big stadium with 50,000, you know, spectators to watch a modern esports championship, that kernel seed of spectatorshipism has always existed. And in 1982, if there suddenly had been the miracle of the internet available, 10,000 arcades around the world would have signed up to watch a stream of Billy Mitchell's Donkey Kong or Chris Iyer's Ms. Pac-Man or something like that. So the modern esport era is not inventing anything new. The impulse to be a spectator and watch high-level video game play was there at the beginning, just as it is now. It's nothing new. It's just a new cycle that's been generated by new, improved technology.
Yeah. More accessible now.
Also, the video game players of that era of 1982 and 83, like I rented a 1953 GMC City bus, 48-foot long bus or whatever it was. We filled it up with video games, and I selected players and made the U.S. national video game team. And in August of 1983, we went on a tour of the nation on a bus. So we did what might be considered history's first video game road trip, okay?
Oh, man.
And we went around and we took on all comers in every city we went to. And so essentially, those players believed in the validity and the reality of being a professional video game player. Many of those players did from that era. It's just that they were too far ahead of their time. And it would take technology to catch up before it could become a functional, financially feasible reality. It wasn't a feasible reality back then, but it was something that was believed in and embraced by video game players of 1982, just like the esports gamers of today embrace it and are actually living it. So the other point I wanted to bring out is it's all a cycle, that the spirit of esports didn't start with all these teams nowadays. It was there alive from the very beginning, which is the point I'm getting at. So it's just cycles. And how do these cycles work? Well, it's all based on the technology. Because once the technology became available that would allow enough bandwidth and interconnectivity so that anybody in the world could play, theoretically, anybody else in the world, and the technology would completely support a valid, genuine flow of gameplay, so it made sense. It was a real game structure because in other words, a major game could be played from people on other sides of the planet from each other because the technology was advanced enough and the games were advanced enough. And once that was possible, that anybody could play anybody else, and the technology was so available that it lowered the bar for entry so that tens of thousands of teams could not only start their own team, but start their own leagues and start their own contests and get their own sponsors, so that it proliferated everywhere like an explosion. Once that technology made all that possible, and the main thing that came, that was the most important thing to fuel it and keep it going, was that the technology then allowed sponsors and advertisers to actually place their message in front of their specific group in a highly profiled way that no other advertising medium before it was ever able to do. In other words, you placed an ad in a newspaper, you might get 20 leads, but you just paid $40,000 for that ad space. Now, for a small amount of money, you can have your advertisement placed in front of your exact demographic. And not only that, because of the technology so rich and so developed, this is that word robust, which I hate, they are able to actually monitor and verify how many people saw it and how many people clicked through and actually became customers. So with that tremendous amount of marketing strength it enticed and attracted all sorts of sponsors on all sorts of levels from all sorts of parts of the globe and different walks of life and different industries. So it all converged into making a sponsorship-driven thing that was reliable and had great, you know, because you can see when you advertise in them, well, that's why the magazines are getting thinner and thinner and thinner, because no one's, fewer and fewer companies advertise there. They're all escaping to the internet realm and placing their ads, especially in video game, you know, scenarios. So that to me is what has happened. It's that amazing technology embracing the sponsors with their ad dollars, which gave financial feasibility to leagues and teams all over the place, which made it a real reality for tens of millions of people to consider an occupation in the esports realm. So all that stuff happened because of the technology. The same spirit was alive in 1982, but the technology wasn't there. So that whole generation, there's multiple generations, you know, 37, 40 years ago, they just didn't have the chance to realize their dreams because there was no vehicle to realize their dreams. And that kind of sums it up as I see it. Doesn't that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely. It's like man for all of time has always looked at the moon, and it just so happens the technology has come on so far, and we did it in the 60s.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Amazing.
Yeah. Kind of give us a lot there, Walter.
Yeah. No, I've never thought about it in that way. So you do embrace the modern culture then?
Well, it does. See, here's the thing. When Twin Galaxies started, and it was responsible for monitoring the scores and creating the rules and enforcing the rules and identifying the champions and then publishing the leaderboards and then crowning the champions and then organizing the contests, all that stuff Twin Galaxies took on as its care of duty, while the rest of the world was not. Twin Galaxies was the whole game for the whole world, you know? I mean, some people didn't hear Twin Galaxies just because the internet didn't exist yet, but that's what Twin Galaxies was all about. And at that time, Donkey Kong and Centipede and Pac-Man and Tempest and Frogger, they were the modern games. Twin Galaxies wasn't a classic game thing. There was no classic games. It was all the modern here and now world at that time. Okay, so essentially, Twin Galaxies enforced all that stuff and gave life to all that stuff. And you asked a certain question. I guess I'm tired today from staying up working on this stuff.
Okay.
There's an aspect of the question I haven't answered yet. What was the question again?
Well, I was interested into what level you embrace the way things are today.
Oh, yeah, that was the point. The point is that Twin Galaxies was completely modern back then. And from my spirit, I completely embrace what is modern. And what's modern today? Well, Fortnite and esports and online stuff. So yeah, I completely approve it and think it's the same. It's just the grandchildren of the Donkey Kong era, but it's still the same family. And the grandparents, of course, love the grandchildren. So I'm all for, you know, the environment, the video gaming environment as it is. I'm kind of settled down in my, I'm more relaxed about how it, well, I guess the better way of putting it is that I don't think the excessive violence in some of the games is needed, you know? I mean, I don't know. I think it's going to change, though. I think they're going to try and figure out how to do things more creatively.
That's the word I was going to use. If you're just going for gratuitous violence, then you do lose an element of creativity. Absolutely.
Yeah, there's got to be ways of doing creativity that's not just all about violence. And too many of the games are just about violence.
I think there is a thriving indie scene of like really creative games, but the AAA games, the big releases, a lot of them are just extremely violent beat-up-a-thons.
Yeah.
But like we've heard a lot about you being the video game referee over the years. What games do you play? Did you play any back in the day?
Well, when I played in the old days, I actually had, for a while, the world record on a game called Make Tracks.
Right.
Make Tracks, you see a paint roller going through a maze, painting a maze. Do you remember that game? I think it's also called Crush Roller in Europe and Asia.
Right, yeah.
But I was also pretty good at Centipede and also pretty good at Gorf and a little bit good at Berserk, all old games. And I loved Mousetrap and Wizard of War. So But at more modern games, I liked Hydro Thunder and I liked Crazy Taxi. I liked Tony Hawk Skater.
Oh, really? Yeah, I'm a big fan of Tony Hawk's.
Not very good at any of those. What's your favorite? What are your favorite games?
Yeah, does anything come straight to mind for you, Dale? Say my obvious ones.
I'm really into racing games, and I think my favorite racing franchise would be Forza. Forza.
Forza.
Franchise. I love it. I've had every single one since Forza 2. I'm a bit of a driving nut in reality, and it kind of transfers into my gaming tastes.
Now, what are your day jobs?
I'm a forklift driver on the docks.
On the docks. Yeah. On the Liverpool docks, huh?
Basically,
might as well be. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm actually a musician, like you as well, Walter.
Really? So, what do you play?
Bass is my main instrument.
That's nice. That's nice. Bass is amazing.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't appreciate how absolutely important bass is.
Because the bass, I can agree more.
The bass is the thing that gives the depth and the renaissance and the resonance to the melody on the top.
Absolutely, yeah. And there's a lot of the movement is there as well.
People don't realize how much the melody's working because the bass is counterpointing it. Because they just don't. So because the bass sort of hides in the fabric of the song. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
Feeling the beauty of the bass that's caused in its relationship with the melody, but they're not aware of what it is that they're hearing, but that's what's going on. Mm. The bass is super important.
Is it something you played much yourself?
Never played bass, but I hear music playing inside me, so.
Yeah.
So it's whatever.
I wish I got that.
Oh, well, man. Whatever.
Sometimes I'm falling to sleep.
Have you guys ever met the Beatles?
No, not at all.
We did play a track from Paul McCartney. That's the closest we've got. What game franchise was it?
Paul McCartney wrote some music for Destiny, turns out.
Oh, okay. How about that?
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
We were surprised as well. Yeah, quite interesting. A full album's worth, not just one game. A full album.
Years ago when I weighed like 30 pounds more than I weigh now. And I shaved off my beard and mustache for the first time in many, many, many years. Immediately people came up to me and said, "Do you know that you look like Phil Collins?" And I said, "What? Who's Phil Collins?" And so I went and looked, and I looked and saw pictures of Phil Collins. And it was unbelievable. It was like I was looking in the mirror. Phil Collins and I, back in the 80s, looked so much alike that everywhere I went, people were asking me for my autograph as Phil Collins.
I'm trying to shave your beard in my imagination, and actually, I think I can see it.
I have to have my face fuller and fatter to show that look. So I don't have that look anymore, I don't think.
Did you ever give them an autograph as Phil Collins?
Yeah. I think I signed autographs to Phil Collins. One time, have you ever heard of a motorcycle gang called the Hells Angels?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, they're pretty rough. They're pretty rough folk.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, in my hometown, Lynn, Massachusetts, the Hells Angels had their headquarters there. And that was where I grew up, and I returned there once. I remember one night walking on the sidewalk on a visit in 1986, and I see them, a big party of them on a street corner, you know, where two roads met. So I got out and walked around their big group out in the middle of the street, walked to rock around them, continue walking on. As I walked by, the whole party suddenly quieted down to not a single sound. And then in the middle of that silence, I heard one of them say, "No, that's not Phil Collins."
Are there any actual pictures of this? I need proof. Now,
that's amazing.
I probably can find old pictures of me as Phil Collins. I'll have to look for them.
Oh, great. We'll see if we can post those out. So we're going to go ahead and listen to "I'll Always Be Playing Your Game" now then, Walter. Have you got anything to say about this track in particular?
Oh, let's play it. I haven't heard it lately.
I don't know if I can find a way to get it so you can hear it, unfortunately.
Oh, you can't? Okay. I don't know.
We were on a quite.
Yeah, I don't know how I could send that to Skype. Oh, you're gonna give a live rendition.
I haven't played it in a long time.
Even better. Tuning is the worst thing about being a musician.
What's that? No, tuning it.
Tuning is the worst thing about being a musician.
Well, for some reason, the string is not doing it.
Yeah.
You know, some strings just don't want to tune.
Yeah, they have little personalities, don't they? I always have problems with the G strings.
That's pretty close.
That's close.
So, I've been saying this in so long, and the words were never finished, but I'm trying to remember. But essentially, it was something like, I'm tired and weary. I see the trend, but I'm so hung up on you. Other men tell me who have come, and I'm real hoarse too from that practice. Come before me, ooh, ooh, ooh. You treat love just like a game. Can't remember any more words, but the music goes ba da dum bum 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 ba da dum bum ba dum ba da dum bum 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 ba dum.
Classic.
Even though your, then the words go, even though your friends are on your side, they confess you're taking my heart for a ride. Even though your friends are on your side, they confess you're taking my heart for a ride. So though you won't see me and you won't hold me, I'm still playing your game.
Of course, that's yeah. Thank you for that, Walter.
I haven't played that in so long, but you could get the feel for where the music goes.
Then. Oh, yeah.
Well, this version we've got next is instrumental. I've never heard it with the lyrics, so that was great. Thanks, Walter.
Okay. Yeah, so though you won't see me and you won't hold me, I'm still inside the game. So it's all about she's playing a game with him, and even though she's rejecting him, he's still there playing the game. Mm. That's the whole concept. I'll always be playing your game.
I think we all have one girl in our lives like that, don't we?
We do. The road of life.
Yeah.
Is that track going to be given some attention when you get you guys in to do your music full time?
I'm not sure because there's so many to choose from. I'm playing this one a lot.
130 of them.
There's so many of them, and when I really start getting into this, I have to just do a lot of vocal working out because I have a voice in there, but you know how your voice is not a voice if you don't keep it going and keep practicing and working it, running it and using it. So I have to build all that up so that the voice comes out strong and smooth and clear and pleasing, hopefully. But I think I can do it simply because I'm too determined to fail.
Yes, Walter. That's what we like.
Exactly. Good attitude. And if there's any movement on that, if anything comes out, we'll definitely stay in touch. We'd love to talk more about it.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Sounds great.
It's been a pleasure to meet you, Walter, and talk to you, really.
Yeah, it has
thank
been.
You. Thank you so much for giving us your time.
Well, thank you. I'm honored to be those two gentlemen from Grimsby.
Thank you so much.
The Bearded Brigade.
I don't think I've been called a gentleman before. I'll take that.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I've been honored. So let's stay in touch, okay?
Oh, Absolutely, yes.
definitely.
I'll let you know when we release this properly in a couple of days' time.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
Cool. Well, we'll speak again soon.
I don't think I've sung on too many things like this, so I think you guys got something a little bit.
Yeah, that's
Oh, hey,
pretty
man.
exclusive.
I enjoyed that in the moment. That was really
Yeah, I
nice.
really appreciate that, Walter. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, you guys, signing off.
Talk to
Bye
you
for
again.
now. Bye bye now.
Have
Bye,
a good
Walter.
day.
I have to learn how to end this. I don't know how to Skype very well. Okay, here it is. I hit the red phone. That's it.
Exactly, yeah.
See you guys later. Bye
Bye.
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 Bye.